Hey everyone, welcome to the Texas Outlaw Running Talk Show. This is your host, Briston Raines. I'm the founder, owner, and Texas Division Race Director here at Texas Outlaw Running. This episode you're about to listen to is known as Shooting the Bull. Shooting the Bull episodes release every Monday, and we shoot the bull about running, fitness, and life itself. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a rating. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy this show of us shooting the bull.
Good morning, Asher Hamlin.
Good morning, Briston Raines.
Man, you need to drink some more coffee, man.
Got to get this day started.
You still doing your 4 a.m. wake up?
Not for the last couple days. Been in Colorado, been up in the mountains, and now I'm down here back at sea level.
Bro.
But I'm with family.
I feel like you never tell me all this great stuff that's happened in your life and not so good stuff. Like, you got in a wreck, you went to Colorado. And these are all things that I found out later, which I'm not saying you got to tell me, but, you know, as a friend, you know, if you're going to Colorado, you know, that's cool to know. And I'm like, dude, good for you. Go Asher, go run in the mountains, bro. You know?
True that, man.
Maybe you did tell me. Yeah.
I didn't plan on going until like 2.5 weekends ago or weeks, because Mackenzie was under the impression — that's my fiance for those of you that don't know — was under the impression that I wasn't gonna go on the ski trip with her family, and so I surprised her a couple of days before that, hey, I'm actually going. And so in that short period of time, I had to buy tickets, buy lift tickets, get ski gear all figured out, and et cetera, et cetera. So,
silly goose.
Here we are.
Did it come out of your pocket?
Came straight out of my pocket.
Oh, how about that hurt? How about that hurt?
Dude. All right. For all of you that are like, man, I've never been skiing, I bet it's fun. Be prepared to spend well over $1,000 easily for even 2 or 3 days, because lift tickets are crazy. I don't know if, but the resort that we went to, it was like $300 a day to ski, which I was like, you know what? I'm going for the experience. I'm not going for, you know, to save money. I'm going to spend a little money. So you got to be okay with that whenever you choose skiing as an activity. But I will say, if you're good with, you know, putting maybe not riding a lift, or you know, having routes cut out for you and that sort of thing, you can just go ski anywhere where there's snow. You just hike up a mountain, ski down it. So spend $0 as opposed to $2,000.
I actually got to spend the insurance money.
Yeah, doggone, man, doggone.
That looks like he got hurt after that trip, bro, after a ring and that.
Yep, all my money's gone. Time to make some more.
That's funny. Yeah, life of young, broke 20-year-olds. Welcome, welcome. Right. Welcome to our young, broke 20-year-old podcast. Literally, we're living on dimes.
But yeah, I don't know about you, but I like to live a private life, relatively, not to keep my friends out of the loop. But I don't know. Maybe that's just the kind of guy I am.
No, I mean, I'm the same way. I'm gonna be honest. Like, if Carly and I are gonna take a trip to the Smoky Mountains or something next week, I'm not gonna call you up and be like, "Hey, Asher, I'm going to Smoky Mountains." Oh, cool. All right, see you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
I'll find out after the fact.
I guess we really haven't had a casual conversation since. So.
Well, how's it going, Briston?
Good, man. Good. Yeah. I want to address this. So, yeah, I did just get done carrying across for 24 hours, 60-pound cross. There's like news stories on it. Y'all can search it up. Just type in Briston Raines carries cross 24 hours. Y'all can see the interviews and stuff on there. But I wanted to talk a little bit about — we already talked about the actual my experience, If you want to listen to that, click the link below in the show notes in the description. I did a whole podcast talking about it with Asher and Billy on the Christian Trail Bros podcast. So if you want to listen to that experience, click the link below or just go type in Christian Trail Bros on somewhere on podcast and listen to the most recent episode. But I want to talk about the preparation and the logistical side of it, because I feel like a lot of people make it this overly complicated thing, and it was really not that hard. It wasn't that hard. It was very simple. So specifically, I want to talk about, you know, kind of my prep for food, water, hydration, and what I took, what I actually ate when I was out there, what I was doing, because it wasn't this overcomplicated thing. Like, I didn't have this box full of 500 different snacks and a bunch of ibuprofen and all this different stuff. I had a box with Gatorade, potato chips, some cookies, and some beef jerky.
Simple.
I really had a lot more than that, but I didn't eat anything else. I just ate cookies, chips, Gatorade, because that's all they had. I would have gone with the blue Powerade, but you know, all they had was Gatorade, so we went with that. I had access to Tailwind, but I don't know. I like Powerade. Yeah, Powerade got me through 100 miles of biking. So ever since then, I've been a big Powerade fan. It's funny because at the time, I didn't know it was Powerade when I did the 100-mile bike ride in the heat. I was drinking this blue stuff they had at these aid stations, but they never had anything labeled. And I was biking and I saw a Powerade sign. I was like, is that Powerade? So ever since then, I've been a Powerade fan because it fueled me through 100 miles and I didn't have anything but Powerade, no food. So I'm a blue Powerade fan. Gatorade's a second option, blue Gatorade. They're kind of pretty similar. So anyways, yeah, that's why I'm with the drink.
Yeah, how was your, I don't even think we talked about this on the podcast, but how was your nutrition, like, making you feel, your stomach making you feel on that trip? Or on the
fine. Cross. It's fine.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't. It's not like
chips and Gatorade. I'm thinking, I don't know if my gut would feel good after all that.
Well, honestly, all my issues stem from, as we talked up on the other podcast, all my issues stem from myself mentally. So, like, I'll get nauseous and I'll get sick, but it's all because of mental. But physically, I guess I'm like an iron bull, man, because I'm just eating all this stuff and I'm fine. But I didn't really train for this thing either. I ran my 6 miles 6 days a week. I went to the gym 3 times a week. I ate a bunch of food, slept in 4 days before, try to get as much sleep as I could, rest up. And so I didn't really train for it at all. And so, like, I didn't train with blue Gatorade. I didn't train with chips and cookies. I don't usually eat that stuff either. But I do eat the cookies sometimes. So my body was used to the cookies. So, and I want to talk about the cookies real quick, real specifically, because they're not just any cookies, man. They're these, I think I've talked about them before, the Lenny and Larry cookies. The whole cookie, it's a protein cookie. You could get them at gas stations, Walmart, wherever. But the whole cookie is like 480 calories, and it's just one cookie. And that's a lot of calories for one cookie. And has a lot of protein, all natural, not super sugary. And so I would eat them before. So I was like, this is perfect for an ultra because, you know, you burn about 100 calories every 4 miles. And if you take one cookie every 4 miles, you're going to stay on top of your calories. So, you know, a couple hours in this thing, I was two cookies in. I was on top of my calories the whole time. Like, I was eating more than I was burning. So,
right.
I was slamming cookies the whole time. But The I noticed, I had bought all this extra stuff though, because I went in the store and I was looking at like, what might I like? And I was looking around and I thought back to my past Ultra experience. I just remember my past 50K I had done. I was like, I love chips. Like, I love potato chips. They're salty, easy to eat. So I'm gonna get some potato chips. But I also got a bunch of other stuff. And I don't like coconut, but there's these cookies too. It was like these coconut fudge cookies or something. I'm not a coconut guy, but this stuff's pretty good. Like, oh, it's pretty
Yeah.
good, man. I forgot what it was called. But I had some of that.
Samoas?
Do what?
Were they Samoas? Like a Girl
Bro.
Scout cookie?
No. Not Girl
Okay.
Scout cookies. These are Aldi cookies, bro. So
Gotcha.
I also had some tortillas at one point. I had a couple Topo Chicos. So, but basically, I had a box. A lot of people show up to these. Which, no offense to anyone listening to this, but a lot of people show up to Ultra events and they got like 50 boxes of food and all this stuff. And they got all this stuff they're carrying. For this, all I had was like this little 20-gallon, it was like a 20-gallon tote, basically. It was a not even 20, it might have been 10-gallon tote. It was this little thing that you can fit in your hand. It's very light, very small. I had that.
Yeah.
And then I had a 5 gallon water jug because that's all I had was 5 gallon. I didn't have anything smaller. So we had 5 gallons of water, which is way plenty. 8 pack of Gatorade, which I only went through a couple. And yeah, that's what we had for food. And it lasted me. And I didn't get tired of anything. And I ate a bunch of it. And I ate a lot of cookies. A lot of those Lenny and Larry cookies I'm talking about. Ate a bunch of those. And it kept me through, satisfied my hunger. Gave me some nutrients and some calories that I needed.
Right.
So, yeah, I did fine. No stomach issues, maybe a couple of farts here and there, but other than that, I was good to go, man. And that was 24 hours, and that's pretty, if you listen to Chad Wright's 37 Project podcast, he's, former Navy SEAL. He's joining the Cocodona and all this stuff. He says that 24 hours is the most similar thing you can get to a 100-mile race. And
Really?
so I did 24 hours and it wasn't that hard. And which might surprise a lot of people, but if you actually go and do it yourself, I think you might find the same thing. If you can get over the little shoulder discomfort of carrying heavy weight on your shoulders, if you can get over that, it's fine. If you're wearing toe socks and you lube up your toes before, you're gonna do great. I had no blisters, nothing. My feet were perfectly fine. I wore these toe socks, then Gingy's, and then I also put some like Body Glide on them. So, and I wore
Yeah.
the same pair of shoes the whole time.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I feel like the big difference there would be is like you take that 24-hour bout of physical activity and you turn your 40 miles into however many hours of running. That might be a little different.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, it's still a good test. I mean, especially with the 60 extra pounds, that's like adding another level of physicality to it, so.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know. That was my first ever ruck thing I've ever done. Like, I've never done a ruck before. That was my first. And yeah, it's really not that bad. I kind of like the rucking thing. And I've thought about this, but I'm thinking about adding some ruck styled things to all of our events, which I'm going to talk to you about that after Asher and her meeting. But like, we're about to open this stuff up to where we're going to have Friday, Saturday, Sunday events. So that way more people can come out, because sometimes Saturday doesn't work for people. So Friday will, Friday evening will, or Sunday morning will. And then also, I don't want to be like, people are stealing this idea from me now, but I started doing rucking events at my running events, and all of a sudden I noticed Tejas Trails, which is another big running company in Texas. I noticed all of a sudden, oh, they added a rucking event to their events. I was like, man, I was like, okay. So it seems to be, yeah, I guess I started a trend in the trail running community to add rucks to the events. But personally, like after doing the 24-hour Crown of the Cross, I like rucks. Like they're fun. They're challenging. It's a different kind of challenge. I encourage anyone listening that does run, I encourage them to try out rucking. Personally, I don't own a rucksack, but you can pretty much ruck with anything. And it'll work. But yeah, man, I had no chafing, nothing.
Yeah.
The only thing, I had my what are these called again? Traps?
Traps, yeah.
Yeah, the traps were red. My feet hurt, and my legs were shot. So other than that, though, I was fine. So
it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. You got any questions, Asher? You got any questions for me regarding,
if you could have done anything to prepare differently, what would you have done?
No, I'll tell you why. So when I was out there, I was like, I'm glad I didn't practice this before, because if I would have known that 20 minutes in, my shoulder was going to be in pain and I had 23 hours left to go. If I would have known that before, I think mentally I would have been more nervous going into it, and I wouldn't have been able to complete it due to me being so nervous about, am I actually able to do this? Whereas when I just went out there and did it, I was like, yeah, this hurts, but we're here. I'm doing it and we got to get it done. So we're going for it. So I'm glad I didn't prepare before. And I don't suggest that anybody does prepare before in a certain extent for something like that. That's brand new that you've never done before. What I mean by that is the fact that it was all new to me, like the places I went were all new. Those are all roads I've never been on pretty much. I mean, some of them. Most of them were roads I've never been on before as far as running. And the experience was completely new. I don't know anyone that's ever done an endurance event with a cross like that. And so it was all so new. And with it all being so new, I didn't know what to expect. So it kept my mind fresh the whole time. Whereas if I did like a 12-hour training run or a training ruck going into it, I would have just like mentally exhausted myself. I would have been like, all right, I know it's going to suck around this time. Like, I already know what to expect. And I think I've heard this thing to where a lot of people say, you know, their first 100 miles is easier than all the other ones because it's also new. So, yeah, I don't know if I ever plan on doing the same thing twice. Like, I might do it again in the year. I'm sure I'll forget about a lot of the stuff and do it again in the year and try to get some bros together and we all go up on some logging roads in Oklahoma or something or Arkansas and just hit it. So, who knows? But, nope, nothing I would have done differently. Actually, there is one thing I would have done. I would have planned my route better. Because at the end, I was like going straight in the traffic, rush hour traffic, 7 a.m. on a road with no shoulders, no sidewalk. I would have planned that out a little better, but I don't know.
You survived.
Yeah, I survived. So I don't know. I'm too new to this area to know, oh, I could have gone here or here. Like yesterday, I was literally driving out of town and I was like, oh, this road would have been nice. Yeah. But I was like, it's too late. I already did it. So,
yeah. That's cool.
But it was an experience for sure. I'm glad we got to talk about more of the specifics of it, because in the other podcast, like if y'all go listen to it, I talk about the story, but I don't talk about specifics like we touched on. So it's good to be able to talk specifics about it and strategy and stuff. So. And, you know, I had some stuff working for me. You know, it got to 70 degrees the day I started, but it got down to 40s the next morning. And so the weather was perfect, honestly. And let me tell you, I was tired at 6 a.m. I was so sleepy. Nikki got a video of me. I would say 6 a.m. was my lowest point. But I was sitting in this car. I couldn't fully extend my left leg. I was so tired. I was like, bro, I was like, why are we doing this? I told them, so why are we doing this, bro? And then an hour later, the sun came up. And as the sun came up, I like my body woke back up. And I stayed pretty much alert and awake for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy
All you
what the
need is a
body
little
can
bit
do.
of that. All
Do
you
what?
need is a little bit of that, and you just like wake right up.
Yeah. Yep. Sun came up and I was up. I was like, okay. I think the several nights of sleep before helped me too for rest. Like I was getting 10 hours of sleep, 3, 4 nights right before. So day of, like I was like completely rested and recovered. So that helped. But
It's a good feeling.
yeah, it wasn't that hard. I could have pushed a little harder. I could have gone farther. We got done. I was like, all right, Nikki, we're gonna go 6 more hours. I
Yeah.
was just messing with him. Yeah, I remember at one point at two, it was like 2 a.m. or something, 2 or 3 a.m. I was like, man, is this how Santa Claus feels? I was like, he's out all night delivering toys, going down chimneys. I'm like, man, this must now how tired he feels doing all this, But you have to think, the real story of Saint Nick, which I watched a video on, it was pretty cool. But he actually did that. Like he would go out all night in the snow pulling sled, and he'd go to these little villages and he would deliver these hand cut wooden toys to all these children. So in a way, Saint Nick did kind of do the same thing. So as far as like go through the night, grueling night, pulling, pushing. Yeah. So anywho. But I think that's kind of our time limit there. So
Think so.
yeah. But thanks for listening, y'all. Well, I guess we'll see y'all next Monday on Shooting the Bull, Asher.
Happy trails, y'all.
Happy trails. Thanks for tuning in. See y'all next Monday.